We'll talk. So anyway, you retired a year later.
Well, I didn't. I started my retirement in September. September. 66.
So you started.
Fleury, Frank Fleury, F-L-U-R-Y. He retired too, resigned too.
So General Simmons resigned, and then his...
No, Simmons didn't resign. He'd gone, he'd retired.
He just retired, has he? But Fleury, General Fleury, Frank Fleury, F-L-E-U-R-Y, resigned. Do you remember why?
He never told me.
Okay.
He had a reason to. I have my suspicions, but I'm not going to voice them. All he told me was, Charles, you don't know what's going on in the background. That was all he told me.
Well, and he was a soldier, was he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you were going to say?
Well, I started my leave, and I'd been on leave for about a month, and I got a letter from headquarters, from CDS, saying, would I come back for 3 months? To do a special study. So I went up and said, what's all this about? And they said, we want you to do a study on the unification of all the non-public activities, non-public fund activities. I'd been offered a job and pressured to take it, which I didn't want. I'm not going to say what it is. Didn't appeal to me. And I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to get out from under, because I can say that I'm not available, which I did, and it didn't hurt anybody's feelings. I went back, and I was given a team consisting of a group captain, RCAF, lieutenant colonel of the Army, and a squadron leader who was a sort of handholder, and a stenographer, and we started studying the non-public fund business. Then we took to the road and we traveled. We went all over Canada and visited all sorts of places I'd never been to before. Army bases, Air Force stations. Then we went to the USA, and we were very well received there. We went to England, got worked over by Nathy and various other people, and then we went and visited the brigade in Europe, and that was interesting. And we did the Air Division, the headquarters at that time were in Metz, and Reg Lane was the air officer commanding. And then we came back. We were supposed to go to Australia, but that didn't come off. And we were tempted, for some obscure reason, to go to Israel, where somebody said they had a fine organization. Well, then we sat down, and we wrote a book. And come about June, we put it up to what was then known as Armed Forces Council. And Allard was the CBS. And they took it in, but Allard had some personal objections to some of our recommendations. And I said that I would come and see him and talk them over. Well, I was going by his office one morning shortly after that, and I stuck my head in and said I'd like an appointment with the CDS, and his aide said, well, if you just wait a minute, he'll be in. So I thought, well, that's pretty quick, but anyway, I sat down, and a few moments later, it was like a tornado coming up the hallway in A block, and CDS stormed in, and said, get me so-and-so to his aide. aide disappeared inside, came out a few minutes later, and said, the general will see you now. So I went in, said good morning. I didn't know what was going on. And then he said, now, what is it you want? Well, I said, you want me, sir? I said, you had some objections to our recommendation. I'd like to hear them. He said, just a minute. He picked up the phone. He said, get me the minister. So I was a little baffled. Then it dawned on me that the night before, de Gaulle had made his famous speech, Vive le Québec Libre. And I could see that General Allard was under considerable emotional stress. The minister came on, and he said, I'm leaving town in half an hour. He said, an aircraft waiting for me. He said, my regiment will not parade for that man. It was the Van Dues were going to have the War Memorial Guard of Honor. He said, if you must have a guard, you can get the RCR down from Petawawa, but he said, my regiment won't parade for him. And he banged the phone down. He said, now, Charles, what is it you want to say? I said, General, can I come back another day?
Yes. And he stormed out.
Well, anyway, I never did hear what all his objections were, because the next thing I was told to give my presentation to the Defense Council, which was presided over by the minister. And they accepted it. They didn't change one thing. They said, okay. So I said, what do I do now? So Ed Rhino was the chief of personnel, and he said, well, you'll have to wait till the officer selected to run this show. No, there was a delay there. It wasn't the end of June that Defense Council met. Hellyer was off trying to be the leader of the Liberal Party. And he was doing that all summer. So I sat around cooling my heels. And he was not available, and we didn't have the Defense Council meeting till September. And they accepted it in toto. And I was told I had to wait. Well, the fellow selected to be the head man of CANEX, as we invented the term.
What does that mean?
Well, Canadian Exchange Service.
CANEX, CANEX.
Yeah. Cammy Massells, an Air Force Air Commodore, who was in Europe. He was on the Air Div staff. So there was a few delays while he came home. So I sat around, and he arrived back about the middle of October.
October 67.
And we waited. I waited, and then we spent 2 weeks together, and I explained him what our thinking and philosophy behind our recommendations. And then I went to the Chief Ed Rhino, and I said, look, please, I won't out. I said, I've got a job at the War Museum, and if I don't show up, I'm going to lose it. So he said, I didn't leave as of the 1st of November. On the 1st of November, I ceased being an active member, because I'd reverted to being active again.
Oh, you're back in uniform, were you?
Oh, yes. And
green?
I went.
No,
you wore your own.
I wore my own.
And you went to the War Museum, which I know a little bit about because I used to meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
Which had been a hobby of yours anyway.
Well, I had an interest in military history and in militaria and things like that. Mm-hmm. I
asked you once what the budget of the museum that you worked for was, and you said, oh, I don't know, about as large as some of my petty casher accounts.
Yes.
It wasn't... I think you took a drop in pay to go there, too.
Oh, I did, but then don't forget, I was also drawing my picture.
Yes, I know.
So, no, I didn't have any complaints.
No, I know.
Well, that
you put you put together that Normandy exhibition.
The D-Day.
The D-Day one.
Yeah. Yeah, diorama.
Diorama is the word I couldn't find, yes.
That took about 18 months, but it was good fun. And we did a trip to Normandy.
Oh, yeah.
In the process, and actually the sand that's built into the diorama comes from the beaches where all this action took place.
Well, what a lovely note on which to end. I'll think up a suitable closing paragraph, but I will, on this tape, thank you in the name of those to follow us and for the Naval Historian. Rah, rah, rah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles.